Hey, before we begin, I do want to give a shout out to all of our patrons over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. If you want to support this podcast in exchange for awesome rewards like live streams and extended episodes, feel free to support us at patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. You can also find that link in our description. I especially like to give a shout out to our BBF BFFs, who are Dersey V, Anna H, Nini, Catlin M, Delia, Elizabeth O, Cynthia P, Guadalupe F, Christian G, Evelyn P, and Laura R. Y'all are so freaking fantastic. Love y'all.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Fucking thing sucks! Yeah.
5, 4, 3.
Testicle.
Testing, testing, testing.
Okay, got it. Ready to clap?
Are you ready, boo? Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I was thinking about? Next time we do a Halloween thing, shouldn't be Diego and Dora, it should be Dora and Boots.
Yeah, I said that initially.
Did you? It was just too late for me to get a boots costume. Because I have big boots energy. Like, just like a sidekick, just like a gay sidekick.
You do have big big boots energy.
All right. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Bitter Brown Fems. I am your host, Ruben.
And this is your other host, Cassandra.
And welcome back. Welcome back. How have you been, Cassandra?
It's been so long.
I know.
It's been so long. Ruben just told me how long it's been. Like, yeah. I feel like time has... It just flew by. I don't know. Well, it's been a while. And that was not planned. That was not planned, y'all. So... as always, our apologies, but life happens.
Girl, my dad died. I can play that card for
that is true. Another few that weeks. Is very true. Actually, now that and I totally forgot what our last episode was about.
I forgot you went through a huge tragedy in your life.
I know. That sounds really mean. I know. I'm sorry. It's just that it's been so long. But no, yeah. Ruben is 100% correct. You bitches need to calm down. Aye. They haven't even asked us for an episode. They're not like, even,
they're like, oh my god, finally these bitches let us breathe. Nah, somebody on Facebook, somebody asked a question on like an old post, and for some reason, like a follower, they responded to them like what they were asking, and they're like, you know, Ruben's taking a break, but here's the answer to your question. And so that was really cool that they did that. So shout out. Shout out to them.
Yeah, whoever you are, thank you.
That was...
oh. Let's pull that up.
Shout out to Alejandra A. Yeah.
Alejandra A. Shout out to you. Thank you for that. But yeah. Our last episode was heavy.
Yeah.
But it was good. We received, like, the feedback that we've received, like, on Twitter, that I've seen was like, you know, like, thanks. Thanks for this episode. Yeah. So you're welks. And, well, I mean, yeah, a lot has happened. Not just with me, I guess, but also just
with you.
Let's just, okay, let's start there. I don't even know. Ruben told me like we recorded at the beginning of February and it like, that doesn't seem real to me. Time does not seem real. That seems like forever ago. I don't believe you. I need to verify that.
Yeah, it was around my birthday, like before or like right after. Oh no, it was right after because it was like after. It was like post funeral.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, February 26th.
No, it's only been a month.
Yeah, you made it seem like the beginning of February, and that was tripping me out. So it's been like a month. Yeah, a month. So, well, I just got over a really terrible cold. It might have been the flu. I'm not sure. I didn't go to the doctor, you know. Don't do that shit. Just write it out, yeah.
Oh, because of corona?
Or because of healthcare. And also, like, I think growing up, that just wasn't an automatic response. Like, you're sick, so we need to go to the doctor right away. Yeah. Like, it was just kind of like, stay at home and, you know. Yeah, that's some Mexican shit. I don't know. I feel like I would go if I was like, I felt like I was going to die or something. But anyway,
I was a sickly child, so. I had asthma, so we went like once a month to the doctor.
Yeah. Wow, really?
Yeah. I had to get hooked up to a machine to get these vapors like up my nose and shit. To like clear my lungs up.
No, you know what? I mean, obviously I did go to the doctor when I was little, but it just like wasn't just like for a cold. It was kind of like stay home and, you know, that's why when they would be like, oh, bring a note to school, I'm like, what note? Like, no one went to the doctor, bitch. Like, it was a cold. You know what I mean? Like, chill out. But anyway, I got my first dose of vaccine last weekend. And so I was very excited about it, that I had been trying to get on a list or to, you know, get it or whatever. And I finally got the first dose, and so I was expecting symptoms, obviously, and then I got a cold from my child's sibling. It kind of spread to everybody around us, including my son and then me. And so it was like, I was confused the whole week. I didn't know if I was experiencing like vaccine symptoms. And then I was like, is this a cold or the flu, or do I have COVID again? It was just a very confusing time. And it was the worst that I felt. Like, I'm not even exaggerating. Like, I had never felt like that before. And even when I had COVID. And so I was very confused. And then I was also like, is this what colds are going to feel like now because I've had COVID, you know? Like, is this going to be, like, a thing now? So last week, this whole week is just, well, not this week, but last week, it was the worst. It was the worst, but now I am feeling better. I still have, like, a cough, but I feel good. And, yeah, and now I just need to wait for my second dose. So yeah. But prior to that, I was feeling good. I hated Pisces season. I fucking hate Pisces season so much. I'm sorry, Pisces. I don't like that energy. I can't with it. I hate it. And so like the whole Pisces season, it was so wild. Like the first day of Aries season, which is like also, it was also the first day of spring, like I automatically felt so much happier. Like from one day to the next, I felt so free and happy, and the sun was out, and that felt like the start of a new year to me. Like, and also because, like, you know, like it's like the zodiac new year because it's like Aries season. So I don't know. So prior to getting sick recently, I was having a really good time because I fucking love Aries season. I love the springtime. The sun is coming out more. Daylight saving happened, you know? So, yeah, so I was in a good mood. So, yeah. Been chilling, yeah. What about you?
Oh, wow, she remembered to ask today.
What about you? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was my podcast. I thought you were my guest. I mean, not my guest. No, you were just, you know.
You were just there as a sounding board.
the sound guy. The sound person. Sorry.
Wow, I've been misgendered.
Oh my gosh. It's my first episode and I'm going to get canceled.
I also got vaccinated. You know, it's weird because now I hear this like beep beep every now and then, and there's like this.
Now I randomly speak Russian sometimes for no reason.
Yeah,
it's so weird.
There's like this square-shaped bump on my shoulder now. So, I also was lucky to get vaccinated. I didn't have like I was just tired for a little bit, and then I was fine. So that's great. I tend to have a mixed bag with Aries season. I think it's very much like April's just like rough for me generally. So
are we in April? No, we're in March.
We're like 2 days from April, girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're talking about like like coming up, April is not a good, because like, sorry, okay, I'm like, wait, are we in April right now?
Fuck.
I'm just okay. Go ahead. Yeah. All right.
Be quiet. Yeah, no. So I'm like gearing up for that. I did finally unpack some boxes from my house, which is funny because I might have to move again because they might force me to go to school in person in the fall.
In Portland?
Yeah.
Oh my. Uh-huh. Oh my.
We'll see how that goes.
Real Antifa hours.
Real Antifa hours, girl. I mean, a part of me is like, okay, I'm excited to move to a new place and make community. But another part of me is like, damn, I have to move. And then moving is just so expensive, let alone like fucking thousand cross state and shit. We'll see how this goes. I might just drop out, girl. I'm just playing. I didn't drop out last quarter. Sure as hell not dropping out now. Yeah, I've been all right. I just witnessing the news has been I don't want to say bizarre, but just like it's been reaffirming of my our constant advocating against like liberalism, right? Like in LA right now in Echo Park, the city council like voted to remove homeless people from the encampments in that park in by the lake, and the person leading the call for that is actually like a queer native, like the first queer native city council member in LA. And they're like, yeah, you need to get, like, they're kicking out homeless people from their homes. Like, it's just so wild to me how, no matter how many examples we get about, like, how representation politics are not going to liberate us, like, people still fall for it. And I think right now in LA, we're, like, experiencing that firsthand right now. Yeah, and folks, you know, I'm not like, I'm not going to put myself there as like the voice of the stuff that's going down in Echo Park. So if y'all want to stay up on that, you should follow a Streetwatch LA, and the LA Can Network, across social media. But yeah, it's just kind of been, we're in a, and really, we're in a new age of liberalism where, like, the liberals have figured out that they can use representation politics to just kind of, you know, usher in whatever the fuck authoritarian, like, shit they want. And people are going to eat it up because they've been miseducated into believing that people who are from marginalized backgrounds automatically have their best interests in mind, you know?
Yeah, and they've been, you know, I think that's just like a reoccurring topic for us, obviously, and especially throughout this whole election. But it's like more than just, I don't know. It's just, I had no idea. Like, I was also keeping reading on what was going on in Echo Park and everything, and I not 100% obviously, but I was seeing on Twitter what was like, you know, when videos of police and everything that was going on at the time, and I had no idea that, like, I would have never guessed, which is not surprising, but I would have never been like, oh, this is at the hands of like an Indigenous queer person. Like, what? But again, it's not surprising because that's who you are doesn't mean that's what your ideals are, especially as someone who's serving government in any capacity, right? Which reminds me of, I don't know, again, my dates are off, but I want to say a few weeks ago, 8 Democrats voted against raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. And that was like a big thing that I had, not just me, but I remember posting about it and someone's like, you know, no Republicans voted for it, right? Like, kind of like, why are you only singling out like Democrats? And it's like, because we know that Republicans are trash. Like, I don't need to, do I really need to make a post about that? Like, are we really shocked that Republicans, like, no Republicans voted for that? Like, no, I'm not shocked. But to some people, it might still be like a shocker that Democrats would oppose that. And that's why it needs to be talked about more, like why we need to call out liberalism and liberals more than we need conservatives, right? Because we know that conservatives are trash. Like, that's not something people are necessarily arguing, right? Like, I don't need to, like, could you imagine if this podcast was just about everything conservatives do? Like, what would be the point of that? And obviously, yes, we need to talk about what they do or what they say to some extent, of course, but not just like bashing on, because like, what is that going to do? Like, okay, we know that. But if we're able to point out the flaws in liberalism and the flaws in like idealizing and romanticizing politicians and about representation, then we can like get people to critically think about these things and their positions and to you know what I mean, to push people more away from liberalism into other, you know, better things. So that is why, you know, when people are like, why do you always attack liberals? Why not conservatives? Whatever. Like, why are you always attacking Biden and not Trump? You know, we saw that a lot. And it's like, do we really need to critique Trump right now? Like, do I need to tell you how terrible he is? But one of the people that had voted, that was among, and another thing, all of those people, the 8 Democrats, I don't have their names right now, that voted against raising the minimum wage, they are all like millionaires, number one. And that's not a surprising thing. A lot of politicians are, which is like how they're also just removed from the people that they're supposed to be serving, right? But one of the representatives that I had called out specifically was Kristen Sinema. This happened back like at the beginning of March. Kristen Sinema, she's a representative from Arizona, and she was like the first openly bisexual person elected to Senate, right? And so when I remember when she got sworn in, it was like this big thing, like in a, you know, for the bisexuals on Twitter and on Instagram or whatever. And it was like, oh, she's so cool. And she, you know, this homophobe Mike Pence gets to swear her in. And it was like this iconic moment. And I was just like, what? Because I actually looked up her record. and it was like when she was a representative of Arizona, she was like pro-cop, anti-Black Lives Matter, anti-immigration. Like, just her track. Her track record is just trash since she got sworn in. And so now that she's she's on the Senate, it's like she's still doing that shit. But, you know, especially me as a bisexual person, I'm supposed to overlook all this shit and be like, oh my God, she's bi. And she wears like purple wigs and zebra pants and high heels. Like, and that's supposed to make me feel good, even though this bitch just voted for me not to make like I hate calling it like, it's like $15 is not shit. So I hate even praising them for that. That's just like the bare minimum. That's what minimum wage is, right? It's like the bare minimum that I have to pay you legally. It's not like a living above living wage. It's not a comfortable wage. It's just like the bare minimum. But anyway, like, yeah, like I'm supposed to feel some fucking connection to her because she's bisexual. Like, how or why, you know? And yeah, but that's people fall for that, right? Because we're used to seeing, especially like typically like white, cis, straight males. And so if it's anything other than that, it's supposed to be like good, right? But only for the Democratic Party, obviously. So.
Yeah, another thing that like gets me when liberals try to point the finger the other way is that like, I thought you were trying to hold these liberals accountable. I thought that was their whole shtick. Right? Wasn't your whole thing like, let's vote them into office, and then once in office, we can hold them accountable, or we can hold their feet to the fire, bitch. They're gonna hold your, like, what the fuck? I just always hate that specific one, hold their feet to the fire, like, bitch, they have all the ammunition, you ain't got no fire, like, please. But that's why we don't spend that much time on Republicans. Of course, like when they do something ridiculous, like Ted Cruz regularly, or when one of them decides to, you know, finally pass away, like we'll acknowledge their good deed of passing away.
John McCain. On that note, John McCain. Damn. And I had posted some of these on my Instagram, but I would recommend everyone at least read this chapter. It's called The Pitfalls of Liberalism by Quamtor, also known as Stokely Carmichael, and his book Stokely Speaks. There's like this whole chapter about why liberals are shit. I would recommend reading that. I'm sure you can find it online, at least that chapter. Read the whole book, of course, or just look up it. I'm sure maybe you can find speeches of his on liberalism on YouTube as well. I was just annoyed because I always get these comments like, why are you attacking liberals, and like, why, like, what's wrong with liberals and all this stuff. And then I remember like posting like, you know, passages from that chapter, and like my likes were like nothing. Like all the people that usually comment talking shit all of a sudden were like crickets. And that's like just another thing that liberals do, I feel, that are same as conservatives. They just want you to argue with them. They don't really like care. Which sucks. because it's like, I don't know. But anyway, if you do care, you should definitely check that out. because what we're saying is not like this brand new thing. It's not like we're seeing it now because of social media, or like all of a sudden everyone's critiquing liberals, and all of a sudden everyone's talking about the dangers of representation, or, you know, etc. It's like, no, like people have critiqued liberalism for years, for decades, you know. It's not like this brand new thing. And so there's work on there if you really, you know, if you want to do like further reading, which everyone should, just for your own, you know, for your own good. So you're like reading. Because we've mentioned before, I'll save that towards the end of the episode, but I've been trying to get back into reading. Because I used to love to read, and I used to get made, like, my siblings used to make fun of me for it, and it was, you know, whatever. But I'm like the reader in my family, and then I felt like all of a sudden I didn't have time for it, or I didn't, you know, I don't know, like, I became a mother, or, like, I just was like, no, later. I just got disinterested in it. I don't know how to explain it. And now, lately, actually, before the pandemic happened, I started reading again, and then the pandemic happened, and I was like, oh, you know, what a perfect time to read. You're just, like, at home, but it's like, I can't even concentrate. Like, I can't focus on anything, and then depression happens, and then stress, and whatever. So, I'm trying to get back into reading, but even though, like, I'm still struggling, like, I'm reading, like, 3 books right now, which I'm trying to just read, like, one. That's, like, let's just finish this fucking book, you know? But, you know, maybe for someone else, like, that's how they get through books. They read 3 at a time. And maybe for someone else, it's, like, like we mentioned, it's an audiobook, and then for someone else it's like podcast. It's like there's different ways to like take in information. It doesn't just have to be like reading. And you know, it's, if you read like slow, that's also like, who gives a shit like how you take information or how you read or how many books you read. But it when you were doing this work, I feel like it is very important
what are
to read
things that you would, I know people always ask us this, but like something that you would ask people to engage.
I recently have started reading We Do This Till
Till We're Free.
We Do This Till We Free Us by Miriam. Sorry, y'all. By Miriam Kaba. And that this is a new book that just came out, I want to say a month ago. And yeah. Y'all should follow her work on Twitter, or just read, like, search articles, like, just Google her essays. Like, you don't have to read
Prison Culture. You know, Miriam Kaba goes by Prison Culture.
Yeah, Prison Culture on Twitter.
She is, like, the godmother of, like, abolitionist, like, online discourse. And, like, not only discourse, I feel like that often cheapens, that word often, like, cheapens it, but, like, thought and, in activism, yeah. Miriam Kaba icon.
Yeah, so you don't, I mean, if you can't check out the book right now, that is okay. A lot of the, what's in the book, some of the things you can find online. Like, they're just essays or interviews that she's done. Just engage with her work, but that is one of the books. And I've been feeling very, like, I don't know, disconnected. I don't know if that's, like, the word I'm looking for, of hopeless, I would say. I just reading, just like with everything that's happened, just a lot of the shit that I'm seeing that's happening, and it's not like anything new, right? Violence isn't new, poverty isn't new, sexism isn't new, etc. But recently, like lately, I've just been feeling like hopeless about everything, and like not wanting to read about any of these things or go online and talk about it. Like, I've just kind of, I don't know, and reading her book has actually kind of been really good for me. Because she, in the beginning of the book, she specifically addressed that feeling of feeling hopeless and feeling like, why, you know, what's the point of organizing and what's the point of doing this if, like, is there really going to be a better world? And I'm sure a lot of us have felt that way, right, at one point or another. But
yesterday,
that's how I've been feeling. Yeah, that's how I've been feeling lately a lot. Like, I honestly was like, I'm gonna just delete all my social media. Like, I don't even want to do this anymore. It's just, it's heavy, you know. But reading her book has actually helped me a little process those feelings. So that's my recommendation for right now. Another bad habit that I have is, like, I need to stop. But lately I was just buying a bunch of fucking books. And I was like, why am I buying? Like, stop it. Like, you do not need any more books. So for now, that's a book that I'm going to recommend. So hopefully by the next time we record, I'll be done with it. And then we can talk about a new one. So, yeah.
We can always give folks updates on, like, reading material. Yeah, and we see that.
I know you mentioned a book that you were reading that wasn't specifically, like, you know, it was just something that you enjoyed reading. I'm sorry, I forgot the author's name.
Maggie Nelson, yeah,
recently. Maggie Nelson, yo. That I want to put that on my reading list, too.
Yeah, The Red Parts. Currently reading Maggie Nelson's The Art of Cruelty, when she kind of talks about the use of violence in media, like, what purpose does it serve, just talking about violence in general in media. She's one of my favorite authors. But yeah, I feel like there's often these discussions about, like, you know, do you need to read theory to be a leftist or whatever? And I've gone back and forth on that question a lot. I don't think that you know, always need to read, like, the, you know, the tried and true tomes of leftism, but I do think that there are definitely contemporary books that engage leftist thought in a way that's palatable to different audiences, right? So you know, you mentioned Marianne Caba, like, she's really good with this. Sometimes I feel like maybe she's a little more advanced, but like Zoe Zamutsi talks about anti-capitalist stuff in a very foundational matter, right? You know, and then you have, you know, like I mentioned, Maggie Nelson engaging like abolitionist thought from like the perspective of like a creator and like an artist. So it's like there's different ways that we can engage reading, if that's something that you're interested in. It doesn't always have to be like the very dry text.
I was having those feelings too, amongst feeling hopeless. I was also feeling like, you know, I don't want to use the word imposter because I hate that. but kind of like, I would say poser. Mm-hmm. It was like 3 a.m. and I'm like, oh my God, I'm a poser. Like, I haven't read like these, all of these theories about like, let's say anarchism or about this or about that. But yet, like, I have a podcast and I say this, and like, how true is that? And like, people believe me, and is that really real? And like, people have better like framework than I do, or like are more, you know what I mean? Like, smarter than me when it comes to this. Like, I have like those feelings all the time too. And I do understand like the importance of telling people to read theory, or, you know, kind of exploring those things. But I also feel like it holds people back, and it makes people feel like you're not allowed to talk about these things, or like, and when we talk about things, like, we're gonna fuck up. Like, and that's like a scary thing for people, right? Like, I could say something that I am wrong about, and a year from now I'm gonna be like, oh, okay, like, that was not it, like, I changed my mind about that. And as long as like I wasn't hurtful, right? Because sometimes we are hurtful to certain people or certain communities. Like, we are allowed to grow and like to keep reading and keep engaging and seeing what works and what doesn't. And I feel like there's like this policing that happens in these spaces, quote unquote leftist spaces, that do make you feel like, oh, like, you said that one thing and that was whack, and so now everything you say is whack. And like, there's no, you know, as much as we talk about abolition and forgiveness and all this shit, it's also like a lot of people police other people, you know, for doing that. So I've definitely felt that. I feel that a lot, especially having a platform. I feel like I'm under like this microscope all the time about what I say or what I have said, or just a lot. So reading has helped me, and it's been like just some books. Like, there's books that you don't like it, you know, you don't have to like everybody's work. There's like, and that doesn't mean that writer isn't going to speak to somebody else, right? It's just like finding what speaks to you, and like who you connect with and who you can learn from. So
yeah, I mean, sometimes even like the disagreements you have with authors, like, that thought process is also important. Like, you know, I've read recently, like, I read Conflict Is Not Abuse. I really liked that book, but do I agree with everything that she said? No, not really. I also read Kai Cheng Tom's I Hope We Choose Love. I love the book. Do I agree with everything she said? Nah. Like, but that thinking about why you disagree with the authors is also important to developing your own framework, right? Mm-hmm. And when it comes to spaces and like maybe not letting us grow, I'm gonna keep it real with y'all, and like, I feel that most in online spaces, like, where you can't grow, where people still hold you to like that type of shit. And like, and I'm not trying to say like, oh, I've been a victim of this. If anything, I've been more of a perpetrator of like that kind of mindset, especially in my first few like years, maybe first 2 years having a platform. Like, I was very much like, you know, canceled, like, that attitude. I think,
yeah, for sure,
for me especially, I think it came from like a place of like, this is like too fucked up. And in some cases, it was warranted, but I don't know. In some cases, I think I was just like, maybe, I don't know, I was being reactionary, right? Like, in some cases, like, with Gustavo Arellano and, like, you know, Lalo Alcaraz, like, them bitches have not grown for shit. And, like, in the last, you know, few years, but their platforms can keep growing and their influence keeps growing, right? So that fucks me up. And that vindicates a lot. But yeah, because when I think about like how I engaged like activism TM, like I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Like I'm sure as hell, like I'm pretty sure that I did things that were, you know, or said things that were not kosher, that were not like right, that wouldn't stand by. I know for, you know, for example, I remember one time having to be called in because I had made like a fatphobic comment that I didn't even realize was fatphobic at the time. But after like I was called in, I was like, oh shit, yeah, I can see how that was fucked up. But I, you know, at the end of the day, like I was still, there was never like a part where like, oh my god, Ruben did something fatphobic, like they can't be in this space anymore. It was like talking about it and then continue to working, right? So all that is to say is that like, and even I mentioned that because when I first started engaging in work, I hadn't read shit. Like it was only until after I took a break and I started reading Tumblr and like Twitter, and then I was like, oh shit, this is like giving words to my experiences. And then when I re-engaged groundwork, then I was able to apply a lot of what I've learned, right? I feel like I've had that ebb and flow of things where like I act and then I read and then I act and then I read, and to kind of process how I approach the work, right? Which I'm feeling like I've been trying to re-enter more active groundwork, and so I feel like I'm entering that phase again. Because I think another thing that we can talk about is like burnout, like how fucking real it is, and how it's not, and it always, and I didn't even process burnout until this last break that I took, and it because it's not like I go like, oh, I need to take a break from groundwork. It's just like your body just shut, like you hit a wall, like, and then, and you know, and sometimes you don't even have a choice of whether or not you continue to do work TM, right? And you have to re-engage your capacities, right? But for a lot of us, like it won't be like groundwork all the time, right? We'll have to adjust how we engage work, right? Because as we've mentioned before, sometimes being on the ground 100% also comes from this place not only of saviorism, but of like ignoring our own capacities in a way that really is grounded in ableism, right? How do we get here?
I don't know. I don't even know how we got here. Wow. We were talking about
reading.
Yeah, but how do we start talking about reading?
I don't remember. But you know who else? You know who needs to stop reading?
Oh, because I... Yeah. Who?
You know who needs to stop reading? Fucking nerds and their manga and their anime. Because in Sacramento, they are closing down a COVID vaccine site for a convention, an anime convention. Because these nerds need to get their body pillows. They need to get put on their cosplays. They need to
buy this merch. Is that serious?
Hey, girl, is that serious for these people?
Where is this vaccine site? Like, is it...
It's in a convention center.
it's like a big space. Yeah, that's a fucking... Like, really? Wow.
And, like, this is why it pisses me off about, like, people always, specifically about Californians being like, oh, I don't know about Texas. Like, and you know, sometimes I make the jokes too, so I'm part of the problem. But like, when we're like, oh, we're so progressive over here, like, blah, blah. Bitch, it may be progressive, like, maybe some places in LA and some places in SF and some places, you know, in the Bay, but California is still pretty fucking, like, red and Republican and bigoted. And like, Sacramento opening up this convention center, I mean closing down a vaccine site to set up a convention, it is not super surprising to people who are familiar with like Sacramento. Like, you mean, just to give you an example, I remember, well, first of all, like, the Klan exists outside of pretty much every major metropolitan area, right? In LA, the Klan is in the OC, Orange County, just a few miles away. In like the Bay and Berkeley, Oakland, the Klan is just outside of that. That's why they're always, you know, marching through that. And then in Sacramento, like, the Klan is in Sacramento. Those bitches regularly used to parade around there. Like, not in full ghost cosplays, but, like, they used to regularly have, like, their bigoted marches. So, all that is to say that, like, A, I'm not surprised, and B, Californians, like, we need to get off our fucking pedestal about, like, we are so progressive, because look at the shit that's going by. And not even to mention the fact that, like, LA at one point had, like, worse COVID rates than, like, the rest of the country because of how ridiculous and irresponsible our government was, right? Fuck Gavin Newsom. Fuck that fool. He's probably going to get recalled, which I feel, like, a lot of ways about. Because on one hand, I'm just like, yeah, it sucked that this is a Republican-led effort and, like, a Republican, like, you know, a MAGA, like, bitch from this area is probably gonna run for election and probably get a real close call, TBH. But on the other hand, Governor Newsom has just been so trash in California, especially throughout this pandemic. He, you know, he raised the police budgets. He didn't take care of the people. He opened up the state. Wine country, like, wasn't even closed. People have been vacationing all throughout California the whole fucking time. And that fool, too, he was caught at that super bougie restaurant where everybody, including him, got COVID. Like, so,
oh my God.
Californians need to wake the fuck up out of this fucking liberal dream hole they think we live in.
Yep. yeah. No. I mean, Texas is still trash. But it's, yeah, all our states are, really. But nothing new has happened in Texas. I mean, I don't know if this happened after, or I think it did after our episode that Greg Abbott announced that he was, like, reopening Texas at, like, full capacity, lifting the mask mandate. Like, you don't, you know, have to wear a mask now. Obviously, in a lot of instances, it's up to the business themselves, right? They can still say, like, no, you have to wear a mask. And from what I've seen, obviously, just here in El Paso, I haven't been, well, I mean, it's not like I go to, like, everywhere, but from the places that I have been, everyone still has to wear a mask, you know? So, I don't know. But obviously, there's obviously people out there that are just, like, whatever. And just, you know, not wearing one. But, yeah, I think the goal right now for everyone is just trying to get vaccinated. That's pretty much it for now. It's not over, you know. Once you get vaccinated, it's like, yes, it's like kind of, you feel a little bit of peace, but you still, you know, we still have to wear a mask. We still have to, like, be cautious about what we're doing. We can't just, you know, like, oh, okay, I got a vaccine. I'm just going to go do whatever the fuck I want. Like, no. Like, it's a step, but, you know, don't be an asshole. Like, you don't know who's vaccinated. You don't know. Even if people are vaccinated, that doesn't mean that they like, COVID doesn't exist anymore. And so we just need to be conscious of that. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's only, like, 90% effective or something like that. Plus, like, you haven't gotten a flu shot and still gotten the flu? Like, it happens, right? Vaccines?
Yeah.
I don't want, like, people are using this, like, oh, they got the shot and these people still got COVID. And it's like, yes, because vaccines are not the end-all, be-all, right? Like, you still have to be careful. Yeah. Like, the way it works is that it creates, like, antibodies in your body, right? Antibodies are the thing that fights illness. But the antibodies are not always successful, especially as, like, variants continue to pop up and shit like that. Which reminds me, like, it's so the, how do I say this? Capitalism is just such a waste. It's just such a ridiculously flawed and destructful system that, like, they are not releasing, like, the COVID vaccine patent to, like, you know, other countries that would typically be called the Global South, right? Mm. They're not releasing to them. Despite the fact that, like, the way that a pandemic works is that, like, if somebody doesn't get vaccinated and they get COVID, like, they that's how variants get developed, right? And because it's an airborne disease, those variants still spread. So it is in everybody's best interest that everybody get the vaccine for free and immediately, everybody in the fucking world. So yeah, it's just so ridiculous that certain, like, countries that have been heavily looted by Europe and the US, like, they have not been given the same opportunities to help their peoples.
Oh yeah. One thing that I've been wanting to talk about, I don't know with who, so I guess I'll talk about it with you, or I'll mention it, is my feeling, I don't know, about why there wasn't a vaccine made for children. And I know everyone's response is going to be like, oh, you know, well, they're not like this, you know, from the beginning, they're like, it doesn't attack children as much. It's like mostly, like, you know, like that whole thing. But it's like, at the beginning, it was like, this is going to attack mostly, like, the elderly, right? Like, older people. And that was kind of, I'm not saying that's a lie, but I'm saying, like, we obviously saw that it wasn't just elderly people. It was also, like, young people, people, like, disabled people, people who had, like, heart conditions, diabetes, asthma. There were kids. There's many kids who have gotten COVID. There's kids who have died because of COVID. Obviously not the numbers that, as much as everybody else, but they're still, like, they're still affected by COVID. And so it kind of, like, makes me upset that they were kind of like an afterthought, because now it's like, now all the quote unquote adults are vaccinated, and now it's just like children are just, they're just out here. And I'm pretty sure, like, a lot of people are going to be pushing for schools to be open, even though, yeah, the teachers might be vaccinated, but the children are not. And to say that, I know, like, so many people that got COVID through children, like, because of, like, you know, how I had mentioned, like, my sister's family got COVID because of one little girl that went to their church, which that's a whole nother conversation we had about why they were going to services to begin with. But needless to say, this little girl had it, and she gave it to everybody, to a lot of people. One of, you know, so much that the pastor's wife ended up dying. I got COVID through a child too, technically, that I got passed on. So it's like, I know people that had, like, got COVID because of, it got passed through, like, children. Just like I got sick last week because, you know, because of children. And I'm not, like, trying to blame children. I'm just saying that just like 30-year-olds got COVID and 20-year-olds. And I just feel like it's kind of bullshit that children were an afterthought, but usually they always are. And so that's just, like, something that I'm going to throw out there. Because, yeah, I feel like, I don't know, that everyone's just going to use that, like, well, they're not really, like, this big, like, group that was affected by COVID. And it's like, neither were 20-year-olds, but, you know, 20-year-olds are out here getting the vaccine, you know, and children aren't. Children are just, like, everyone around them got the vaccine, and they're just out here, you know. Like, I don't know. One of the reasons I wanted to get the vaccine is because I have a child, and so I feel like that's a little bit of protection, right? Like, if the adults around my child get vaccinated, then that kind of builds a little bit of, like, a wall around him. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he still can't get it.
Girl, the wall triggered.
Yeah. Shut up. Like, we're building a wall around my child. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it, like, he could still get it. He can get it from, if we go to Walmart, if we, whatever the case may be, even if those chances aren't as high as somebody else's, like, that's still a possibility. And so, you know, it's just bullshit to me that it's like they're barely doing the trials for, like, a children vaccine, but whatever. yeah. Mm-hmm. that's all I want to throw out there.
Speaking about the children, Lil Nas' latest music video for Call Me By Your Name has got the Christians a little worried about the children once again, because
how did we tie children into this conversation? I'm sorry.
You brought the vaccine. You got these.
No, I know, but like how? No, who is a little? How are we tying? We're talking about children. You're like, speaking of the children, like a Lil Nas X. Like what?
Because the Christians are worried about the children that they're gonna see his latest video.
Okay, I got it. I'm sorry, I missed that. Damn. No, yes, they are worried about the children. Just like,
girl, my mind. I have the mind of a mastermind. Yeah.
Hashtag free the children that they throw around for everything.
Oh God.
Yeah, so let's talk about it. Let's talk about
if you haven't seen Lil Nas's latest music video, I suggest you pause this and then come back to it in like 3 minutes. The song is called Call Me By Your Name, and in it he takes a strip pole down to hell and then gives the devil a lap dance and then kills the devil and then becomes the devil himself. And the Christians...
But there's more to that than the video.
Is there?
But yeah, that's like the main... I feel like... Okay, let's talk about the video though.
Okay. I thought it was cute. I mean,
I already know what you're going to say about the video. What? But go ahead, say it.
There were some FKA Twig moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That need to be addressed by... Montero Incorporated. Yeah, but I mean, it was cute.
You should see my face when like the poles hit when he came down with the pole. I was like, yeah. Oh, like okay, that's what we're doing. Like I wasn't expecting that, not like in a bad way. I was just like, you know, like where this took a very like quick and interesting turn. Like I was really like, I don't know, I was like really surprised, like wow, like he went there.
I'm glad, but you I know think, what
like, and then yeah, I mean I'm glad that he did,
yeah, because I did not really see this. I didn't you know, when Old Town Road came out, I was like afraid that he was going to be a one-hit wonder, TBH. And I've always been rooting for him because he's just so unapologetically queer. And, like, not only that, but he's, like, a dark-skinned black person. So, like, just I was just rooting for him a lot. And so to see his, like, longevity, like, that's kind of iconic, TBH. But
yeah, and let's talk about Old Town Road. So, okay, we're, like, jumping over the piece. So
okay,
in this video, you know, I feel like the concept of it, or what it says to me, I think everyone interprets it. How do you say that word? You know what I'm saying? Interpret it. There we go. Yeah. Differently. But for me, it's like knowing that, also important to point out that he grew up in church. I don't want to say grew up in church, but I know that like he used to go to church, he's mentioned at one point in his life. I don't know like how long or whatever, but as someone else who obviously like I grew up in church, like I felt like the message was kind of like knowing that being queer and being authentically yourself isn't sin, isn't something that God's going to reject you for, and that you're still valid and worthy of whatever, if that's heaven, if that's whatever, you know. And because of that, like choosing, like when he like goes to hell, it's kind of like this thing of like, I don't have to choose that path. Like I don't have to choose God. I don't have to like prove whatever to God or to you or to your church. I can yeah, I can go do whatever the fuck I want. And the fact that he chose to be in hell was also like iconic, because it's like what a lot of us, regardless if you grew up in church or not, hear all the time, right? That we're going to hell. That being queer is a sin, that being gay is demonic, and we're going to go to hell. I heard it all the time. I believed it for a long time myself, right? Which is why I internalized a lot of things and stayed in the closet for so long and still, and you know, whatever. But then when queer people are like, yeah, okay, I'm gonna go to hell, or this is your, you know, your little idea of hell, and so okay, I'm fine with that, because I at least I'm gonna be able to be myself, and so that's okay. And then all of a sudden Christians don't like that. Like they're like, yeah, you're going to hell, but now that you're embracing hell, it's like an issue, and it's like well, if you don't want it to, if you don't want us to embrace hell, if you don't want us to go to hell, then why would you not, like, I, you know, like, why? Obviously, it's, like, hypocritical, but, yeah, that's, like, the hypocrisy that's happening right now.
Yeah, girl, part of the conversation that we should be having is, like, how many of us LGBT folks were, like, harmed by the church, especially, like...
Were what?
Were harmed by the church.
Oh, like, okay, yeah.
And not even talking about, like, physically, right? Or, like, because, of course, we can't talk about the harm of the church without, A, like, talking about imperialism. Because the church was a big driving factor in fucking imperialism throughout the world. There was this idea in, you know, the olden days that, like, they needed to bring Christianity to the Americas and to Africa. There used to be some old saying that it was, like, kill the savage and, like, save the Christian, right, in regards to indigenous people and black folks. And so, like, that needs to be front and center in a lot of discussions, right? Specifically, as it relates to communities of color that have been indoctrinated into religion, right? And then second of all, like, when we're talking about the harm of religion, we also have to talk about how many abusers of religion, like, organized religion, you know, hide in their midst, right? And those two things need to be talked about before, like, addressed by... like, these outraged folks, before we even get to the fact that, like, or even, not even before, in tandem with the discussion about how, you know, the Catholic Church, the Christian Church, traumatized LGBT kids. Like, I also remember when I came out, I came out to my church before I came out to my parents. Like, so I was completely ostracized from them at, like, age 13, 14. And I was so fucking lucky that I had a very strong group of friends that, like, I didn't lose community entirely. But I know, like, that came from the fact that, like, I lived in LA in a metropolitan area. When we get to more rural areas where, like, church is the only community you have and coming out means you completely lose community, like, that completely fucks a person up, right? On top of all this, like, mental strife that the church puts in you, like, by continuously saying, like, oh, you know, gay people or trans people are trying to destroy the family unit and things like that. Like, I remember when Prop 8 was coming out and, like, gay marriage was, like, you know, being talked about. They had so many, like, they had so much shit to say. And it was, like, religious groups that, like, kept that from happening the first time around. They paid for commercials that misguided voters and things like that, right? And not that, like, gay marriage is, like, the end all be all to things, like, that's a whole other conversation we can have, but it's just kind of like a tangible example of how the Christian church has constantly, like, fought against the rights of LGBT folks, right? So the fact that somebody who, like, Lil Nas, who has this unprecedented platform, has used it to piss them off, like, I can only clap. And, like, also, it's in the long tradition of, like, pop artists pissing off the church, right? Like, Madonna, Lady Gaga, you know, and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. yeah, everything you said about the church is accurate, and it's just hypocritical to me. And again, I love the video. I love the message, I guess, especially, like I said, as someone who grew up in church, I feel like it that's how I feel. But yeah, I love that. Like, I think we mentioned, like, we've played, like, when we had played Old Town Road, or at least mentioned when we had a conversation, an episode about Lil Nas when that song was, like, a hit.
Yeah.
And we talked about how Lil Nas used to be, like, a barb, or is a barb, I guess, and how he markets himself, how he marketed Old Town Road and into like social media and got it to, you know, like he's like a genius at social media. Like, this is what happened. Like, because like if you go on his Twitter right now, you'll see him replying to like governors and all of these people. If you go, like, he's just like clapping back at all these people, and it's like, I live for it, because I'm like, do you not know who Lil Nas? Like, this is also like someone who's like, this is what happens when a Barb gets famous. Okay, like, they know how to work Twitter. They know how to work like social media. Like, they're not just gonna take, you know, they're just not gonna take it. So like, it's very entertaining to see. But he did tweet out that he was dealing, like, you know, he covers it with humor, like a lot of us do, but deep down, like, he said that he was like having a lot of anxiety, and it was taking a toll on him, because, you know, it's like all these people, obviously there's a lot of backlash, a lot of, and yeah, it's funny, and yeah, a lot of us, I think, are on his side, and I know that he feels supported, but it's also very overwhelming. I get overwhelmed when people, like, you know, do cancel me every other week sometimes. It's fucking annoying. So I can't imagine, you know, being Lil Nas right now, and everyone talking about you, and it's not just them talking about, like, this video, it's an attack on, like, it's a homophobic attack, it's an anti-black attack, it's, like, a lot of things. It's not just, like, oh, people are upset about this video, right? Because with those things come homophobia and racism and, you know, just, like, attacks in general. So, yeah, so I hope if he needs to take a step back, he does that, but I think that he knows that a lot of people, you know, at least the queer community, at least me, I'm not speaking for everybody, but, you know, I'm on his side.
Yeah.
And regardless if you like his music, like, I mean, I don't listen to his music. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I love it, I listen to it all the time. but I'll still just fuck with him, because, like, no, because I like, support him. And, oh, I wanted to talk about the Old Town Road, because this is something that they keep bringing up. They're like, oh, you know, Old Town Road was, like, this, like, you're a children, like, it was, like, a children's song, or, like, you marketed it to children. And it's, like, first of all, that song was not for children. It's just a song that children liked, just like when we were younger, we liked random songs, right, that we didn't know what the fuck they were about. They just sounded fun, like, Deaky Ride, I love that song. You know, I don't know what the fuck he was talking about. I was spelling out Deaky Ride.
Girl, I was in high school, like, rapping to Freak a Leak, not knowing what the fuck mm-hmm. that was about.
Yeah, you don't know. You know, if people really think that kids know what the fuck. Like, no, I could be singing the most dirtiest things when I was a child, and I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. So, first of all, but regardless, that song was not made for children. Children just liked it, and it's a cute song. Like, if kids like it, and he was like, I, you know, like, okay, kids like it, so I'm going to perform this song for kids. Like, whatever. That doesn't mean that his whole career is, like, going to be centered around, like, children.
Well,
or that he planned to market it to children. Like, but also, it's just, that song talks so about, ridiculous. Like,
drinking lean.
Yeah.
It's and, like,
about, yeah,
fucking his girlfriend, like, or something like that. Or not, somebody else's yeah. girlfriend.
It just yeah. is, like, cheated on my baby. Something about, like, drinking lean. So it's not even, like, to say, like, it was, like, this pure song about, like, cowboys and horses is, like, bullshit, too. Like, shut up. But I did think he was going to be a one-hit wonder, too. And I was also, like, even though that sucks, like, I'm still, like, that's a big thing. Because he actually, I mean, that he, what's it called? He beat Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men for One Sweet Day, like, on the charts with that song. It was, like, a big fucking thing. You know what I mean? So even if it was a one-hit wonder, like, that was still, like, a big-ass accomplishment for the way that he marketed that song and got it to number one. And the whole Billy Ray Cyrus thing, like, that, the whole thing was iconic, even if it was just a one-hit wonder. But it's not. I think that he's gonna be around for a while. And like I said, regardless if you like his music, I think that we should still support him. You know, just... But, yeah, I feel like that wraps up Lil Nas. We went into this all, like...
All right. Don't feel like sitting in a waiting room right now? Planned Parenthood's got you covered. As a leader in using new technologies to provide high-quality healthcare in ways that fit your life. Through Planned Parenthood's virtual appointments, you can get high-quality, affordable care your way, by phone or video. Trusted providers will listen, give information, and support you in all of your healthcare decisions. Planned Parenthood's telehealth appointments are high quality, affordable, and private. just like in-person visits. Whether you need help with birth control, a prescription refill, or other sexual or reproduction care services, skip the waiting room and get the care you need when you need it. Planned Parenthood takes the stress out of healthcare and is ready when you are. Check out plannedparenthood.org/BBF to learn more and book a virtual appointment. That's plannedparenthood.org/BBF. And with that, we will talk about what made us less bitter this last month. Do you want to start? I can start.
I can start. I mean, just generally, the fact that Pisces season is over, it was dragging me down. I do not like that energy at all. Damn. It's confusing. It's draining. It's emotional. It's lazy. I just hate it. Aries season has brought me a lot of joy. Spring is here. The fact that we get more sun has brought me a lot of joy. The fact that I was able to get my first dose of vaccine brought me joy. And then that last weekend, I believe it was, I got to go like on a bike ride with a few friends, and I hadn't done that. I hadn't seen, oh my God, just like seen my friends, and I hadn't seen them in like over a year. And that was wild to think about. You know, obviously it was like a bike ride with a mask on, socially distancing, obviously. But just being out, like, in the sun, like, around other people was so... I honestly, like... it still, like, trips me out sometimes. Like, sometimes I'm like, wow, the pandemic really took that away from us. Like, I haven't done, like, this little thing, you know what I mean? Just, like, riding around on my bike with, like... 5 people has brought me so much joy that I haven't done this in like a year. Like, it's so wild to think about. But yeah, that was just like one thing that I can think of right now. And just feeling like we're getting like a little bit closer. I don't want to say to the end, because it still like feels unpredictable, and it still feels like it's a long time away from being completely over. But just like, I feel that we're getting a little bit there, you know, and just like hoping that everyone else gets their vaccine if they want to. Of course, I personally recommend it, but I also, like I said, I know if you have personal reasons why you don't want to. But yeah, I think just like, yeah, it's just felt like a new year for me, like the zodiac new year. Springtime, and it feels, I don't know, just like a little freer, I guess. So that's brought me a lot of joy, feeling the sun and the breeze. Literally. Yeah.
What has brought me joy? Bimini Bamboo Lash.
Whoops.
The rightful winner of RuPaul's Drag Race UK season 2.
Okay.
Bimini Bamboo Lash, non-binary femme, okay, who is just an icon. She is the moment. I've just been consuming so much fucking drag content. It just brings me so much joy. I guess that, and that's about it. I love a good, you know, person in a too much makeup and a wig, like, mm-hmm, that gets me. I'm trying to look around. That's pretty much it.
I think for me too, I can't wait to go back to CrossFit. Why is that funny? I'm very excited,
cold,
like, to be
behavior,
able to do CrossFit again. Nicole behavior. Like, I'm very excited, like, to do like these very, like I said, we're not gonna, just because you got vaccine, you can't be like completely wildy now, but it gives you like, at least you can do some things. And that's one thing that I'm like really looking forward,
Cassandra,
to doing.
Left Christianity, joined CrossFit.
that's such a mom thing to do, too.
CrossFit?
Yeah. And like, specifically leave Christianity on CrossFit.
Shut up.
No. But yeah, no, my friends definitely are like, that's such a, like, a mom thing, like, to go to CrossFit. Like, wow, thank you.
It's so embarrassing for me to work out in public. I just prefer not to be seen.
It is embarrassing, and that's why I was I hate that I have to like redo everything, because like I finally got past my fear of that. Like, okay, just let's just go, let's just do it. People are gonna watch it. Like, you know, it is embarrassing. It is very embarrassing. But I got past it, and it feels like now I have to like redo it all over, like take that first step again to go and restart all over. But I'm gonna do it, because yeah. Why is it funny?
Because I'm just, it just reminds me of like in LA. Like, the gyms were closed, quote-unquote, but the CrossFit people were still meeting. Like, the exercise groups are still meeting everywhere.
Oh, absolutely. The CrossFit is here, too. I'm like, I hate, like, that's, like, the culture, though. They're like, grind, shiner, what is it, like, grind.
Rise and grind.
You get up and grind. Rise and grind. Like, chill the fuck out, please. Like, people are dying, sir, yeah. Please.
This one time, I was getting a burger, like, I didn't even notice there was a gym there, TBH. I was getting a burger, and there was, like, a gym right in back of the burger place. But it was, like, so hidden, and it was so dark, because it was around Halloween. And they were playing really scary music. And I was like, oh, I'm going to eat my burger, and I'm going to go into the haunted house. They're probably COVID safe or something. And then I realized it was just a gym playing really scary music, and everybody was in costume exercising for some reason.
Yeah. No, not in costumes. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No, I hate it.
Thank y'all for joining us. It was great to be back. Yes. I felt like this one, yeah, it felt good to be back in here.
Yeah, for sure.
And not be super sad. Not that grief is over, because grief is a process.
Stop.
All right, y'all. Take care of yourselves.
Okay, but we'll see you next time.
Follow us on social media, bitches. Bye. All right, before we leave, we absolutely must thank all of our I Know Her Level patrons. If you want to have your name be shout out, go ahead and support us on Patreon. You can find that link in our description. And our I Know Her Level patrons are Raul S., Sara R, Natasha B, Tate T, Brenda C, Ames T, Amy M, Layla G, Griselda M, Lisbeth K, Sarah M, Karina C, Yulitza, Chrissy J, Clara P, Gianna R, Marisol L, Miguel B, Nancy M, Valentina R, Yasmin T, Jocelyn D, Vanessa G, Alana F, Erica A, Alejandro M, Justine, Magdalena S, Ronnie L, Linda Marie, Bianca G, Kimberly, Jen A, and as always, Abigail and Aranya. All right. Love y'all tons. All right. Take care.